Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning. This is Lanice Williams here with you live for another edition of the Cobb County Business Radio X, where we highlight the best and the brightest business owners in and serving Cobb County. And we have a little bit of girl power going on in the studio today. We have Ms. Shanae Commodore of Commodore Consulting and also Ms. Sabrina Lowry of Legacy Realty and Management. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lanice.
Great to have you both here.
It's my pleasure.
Good to be here. Thank you.
After all the snow days, after all of the weather drama, we are finally here.
Right.
The black ice.
Exactly. So I'm going to start with you, Shanae. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks. I'm glad to be back.
Good. Yes, so. Because you've been a guest previously.
Previously, yes. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a good opportunity to be able to reach out.
So. Yeah, and also share some new information because I'm sure some new things have happened, some new things are going on. Great time to give everyone an update.
Right. So right now, this weekend was a wonderful weekend. I just finished participating in some conferences, one with the Kingonomics, focused around entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. You know, I really believe, you know, in the same principles as Dr. Sampson, you know, entrepreneurship is the answer to poverty. I think entrepreneurship, education, and learning definitely can help with those. And I like to be able to contribute and help people feel more comfortable in recognizing their talents and skills so that they can become successful entrepreneurs.
Right. Sounds like we have some similar goals.
Yes, definitely. And then yesterday I participated in a college outreach event with the National Contract Management Association for Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And that was to educate students and young professionals about the contract management profession.
Okay.
You know, so contracts is contracts, whether it's government or commercial. Mm-hmm. We all need offer and acceptance to, you know, complete our work and document how we're going to get paid.
Exactly.
So we talked about that skill set and that profession.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell our listeners a little bit about, you've told us about you and, mm-hmm. and your mission. Tell us about Commodore Consulting and what exactly you do.
Okay, so Commodore Consulting, I founded that in 2002. Mm-hmm. My expertise is in government procurement and services. So I started out as a young contract manager intern at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Mm-hmm. And my job was to audit the healthcare contracts, basically make sure that the government was indeed getting the services that they were contracted for at the appropriate rates. So what I do is I've used that skill set to work with businesses of all sizes to make sure that their contracts are set up appropriately when they encounter business. A lot of my customers are government contractors, so they're selling to the federal government, mm-hmm. which is the largest supplier in the world, and the federal government buys over 5,000 different items every day, but it's also heavily regulated. Mm-hmm. So I work with companies to make sure that they have their business processes and so forth set up to be in compliance with the federal government, whether it's a contract or helping them write a proposal or assisting them with certification, making sure that they have all of that together. Because finance, you know, everyone needs a lawyer, but contracts are 70% finance and business terms. Mm-hmm. So you need someone that's knowledgeable about that. And what I found out is that small businesses may not always be able to pay someone full time to do that, but is a skill set that they need.
Right.
So that is a core area that I also provide. But I also provide business to government. So I also supply services to the federal government. The services that I provide are contract management and acquisition support, as well as acquisition training and program management.
Awesome. So you're trying to put us lawyers out of business. Is that what you're doing?
No. You know what? Any complimentary service that's going to make it better and more efficient, then that's the goal there.
I'm kidding. It's great for any business owner to have a team and have, mm-hmm. have all sorts of people that are knowledgeable about different things.
That's we can great. Never put you guys out of business. You make the laws. Some of you make the laws. You got to defend them. And, you know, although contract managers have that skill set to really conduct a thorough analysis based upon the regulations, based upon the business needs of the industry, we can't go to court.
Right.
So there's always a need for a lawyer.
Right. So what do you feel are the common misconceptions about government contracting?
I think the common misconceptions perceptions about federal government. I'm going to start with my number one, and that's contracts and grants. A lot of times you say government contracting, people will say, oh, I got a nonprofit, I want to get a grant. It's not the same thing. Those are two different funding mechanisms. Mm-hmm. So if you think of a government contract, that's really very as close as you'll get to commercial business. That's why the government has rules for buying commercial items. Mm-hmm. So it's a award, an agreement to do work with the government, whether you're providing toys or IT services or healthcare services or helping manage the government real estate, because that's a large, you know, the government is a large supplier of government real estate. You have the federal courthouses, the post offices, and all of that. And you get paid for that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, these are the things that we want you to do. And you're like, okay, this is my technical competency. You know, I can provide this work. I have the related project experience to provide this work, and these are my prices. Mm-hmm. So there's a mutually beneficial documented agreement with the government to provide service A at an hourly rate or fixed price, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Whereas on the grant side, when it comes to the cost sharing, there's a cost sharing component. So on the contract side, the government, this is their budget, this is what they're going to pay. But when it comes to a grant, you may, you know, the government may fund 75% of that. You, as the awardee, will have to come up with the other 25%. So there's a cost share mechanism to that, and people get tripped up there because you've got to document what's your cost share going to be. Where's that going to come from? Is it going to come from another entity or a university? Is it going to come from in-kind contributions or cash contributions for your own company? So it's a different dynamic, and there are additional financial responsibilities required for that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people realize that, and there are very specific additional accounting requirements for that also.
Right. So you spoke about your early days when you were reviewing the healthcare contracts.
Right.
So what were you doing before that? How did you really get involved in this industry? Where's your passion?
Oh, I love this story, actually. So, you know, when I was in college, strangely enough, well, actually when I was younger, I just knew I was going to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. That's all I ever said. I'm going to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And then when I got older, I was like, well, I like accounting, mm-hmm. and I like how things work. So I wonder if I can be a lawyer and a doctor. That didn't work out, of course.
You would be a busy lady.
Yeah, exactly. So when I went to school, I actually was taking some accounting classes, and that's why I got an intern at Wright Pat. Mm-hmm. But I was like, this is kind of boring. I don't want to just be in a room doing numbers. I still want to analyze. I still want the legal component. And when I was at Wright Patterson Air Force Base, I started out as a financial manager intern, but then it grew into full-blown contracts. Mm. You know, contracts has three cycles. You know, the pre-award phase, the award phase, and the post-award phase. The pre-award phase, whether you're government or private company, is the highest risk there are, mm-hmm. because that's when they're doing acquisition planning. That's when they're aligning the required regulations that you need to have in place for the contract and terms. That's when they're identifying, you know, what is happening in the industry, what is available to us in terms of market research or innovation. So that was so fun to be able to do that research and put it together, you know, identify the contract terms appropriate for that kind of work and put it in there and see how it would impact the successful outcome of the project, mm-hmm. but also the cost reasonableness and fairness of that. So that was so fun. So I was like, this is so cool. And what you'll find with other experts that may be in the contracts management or procurement profession, a lot of us actually got there by accident. Mm-hmm. It's not a common, it's not a well-known profession. But it is important, and a lot of businesses have similar positions. They're just calling them different things. Like they might call them a buyer. They might call them procurement specialist. They may call them vendor relationship management because it's all about that. But it's just that the tool to do that is the contract. So with the contract, you're ensuring fair prices. Mm-hmm. You're ensuring best of industry services. You're ensuring good supplier relationships and vendor management. So, yeah, I fell into it by accident, but I love it. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. I do believe that you have to invest in yourself. Once you recognize your talents, you need to invest in your talents. So what I did with that is I identified a professional association for that, which is the National Contract Management Association. So I've been involved in that also for since 97. Mm-hmm. They have a professional certification. that I have for contract management that I do. And they also provide other training and great networking, whether you're government or commercial, that I participate in. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like you did exactly what you coach other people on doing. You found your passion and you you turned it into an entrepreneurship opportunity for yourself.
Exactly. And I learned, I also learned because I worked at some of those places. I worked for the federal government. Mm-hmm. I worked for the VA and at Wright-Patt. I spent some time working at CDC. Mm-hmm. I even worked here for DeKalb County as a contracting specialist. Mm-hmm. So I have contract experience, you know, from the government side and the commercial side. And not just working with my customers to build that foundation for them, but I also provide training classes. So mm-hmm. I have an upcoming training conference coming up March the 26th and the 27th mm-hmm. at the AMA building downtown. And that's all we're going to be talking about. And I'm going to help people put together are their basic contracts and their proposals mm-hmm. and some leadership skills. And when they leave, they're going to at least have a basic from that mm-hmm. they can go to and you know, that's that'll be finished needed. Or talked to about. And of course, negotiations. Mm-hmm. Because whether you're a leader or whether you're running your business, you have to learn how to negotiate.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part of it. And the key part of negotiation that I also tell people about is, you know, always negotiate price last, which mm-hmm. is like going back to what we were talking about with contracts. Everything in that contract, everything in your work ties back to price. Mm-hmm. When you're going to get paid, how much you're going to get paid, what are you required to do? If there's a dispute, how do you get out of it? You know, what constitutes a material breach? So we'll spend some time talking about that and helping them develop some negotiation skills also.
I like it. It's much needed.
Yes.
Yes, definitely. Especially for a lot of these small businesses, mm-hmm. like you said, that just don't really have the resources, you know, to pay for large services or pay for large corporations to do that. So that training is... That's awesome. I love
right.
it.
Thank
I
you.
Love it. So what do you feel are the keys to make someone successful in your industry?
I think the keys to making someone successful are they need to be honest about their skill set mm-hmm. And stay open to something new, because there may be, you know, when you're running a business, especially as times continue to change, there are going to be some things you don't know that you don't know. And you have to stay open to that so that you can remain flexible. And either that's a skill set that's reasonable for you to add to what you're already doing, or it's something that you're going to need to identify an additional resource to do. Mm-hmm. So when we go through with our businesses identifying, you know, what are your core goals? What are your actual competencies? And we do a feasibility assessment to help them recognize where there may be gaps mm-hmm. and how they're going to resolve those gaps, because that's very important. And one way of staying in business, because, you know, unfortunately, most businesses, small businesses don't last 2 or 3 years. So we work with them with that to help them identify strategies so that they're sustainable for the long term. And when you're identifying your gaps and you need to decide, is this a resource that maybe you need in terms of a tool, you know, whether it's an app or contracting out with someone, or it's a process that you need to create, or is this something that you really should add to your skill set that you should be offering to your customers? So people, I think that's another misconception that people have about feasibility assessments, that they need to be comfortable in doing mm-hmm. and not spend too much time on what the competition is doing. You know, you have to allow time to be innovative mm-hmm. and strategic. And you can't do that if you spend too much time on the competition. So we work with them to identify their skill sets and areas for improvement so that they have a healthier balance between, you know, how they spend time on direct revenue generating activities and how they spend time on, you know, on things that support. And then making sure that it's priced appropriately so that they can become profitable. Mm-hmm.
Great. So I know you've been doing this for quite some time, mm-hmm. but how do you feel people really find out about you? Is it by word of mouth? How do people know about these awesome services you're providing?
A lot of it has been word of mouth. Mm-hmm. Some of it, a lot of it too, comes from my work with Opportunity Hub and Dr. Sampson, mm-hmm. Because he has a facility where small businesses can get office space and work collaboratively. Mm-hmm. I work with him on that. And then my speaking activity that I have with some of the professional associations that I'm associated with. Mm-hmm. And recently, thanks to my young adult children, I know how to use Twitter. And I actually have a few hundred followers now. Uh-huh. But I have met and networked with some really fabulous people. And also on LinkedIn groups. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that I advise people that I work with to do. You know, LinkedIn, get engaged with the related associations and businesses similar to what you do. It helps in relationship building. It helps you gain knowledge, and it's free. Mm-hmm. You know, the important part in business, the important part is life, is no matter what we have, it's human-to-human interaction. But for that to be successful, it has to be genuine. It has to be authentic. You know, and it takes time on a regular basis. And, you know, the three most important things in the relationship building, especially with businesses, you know, that I work with my customers to be able to articulate is, you know, do you understand the problem? Do you care? And can they trust you? And when we identify those things, you know, working with them to help them articulate in their services or products how that's done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that trust factor is huge.
Exactly.
And I don't think enough people realize the power of social media. You know, many people, you know, just see social media as a way to just talk to old friends or, you know, reunite mm-hmm. with people. But when it's used effectively, it's definitely, it's powerful.
It's very powerful. And, you know, that takes it back to one of the reasons I'm so excited and passionate about entrepreneurship. And I tell people all the time, you know, some people say, well, my real job is this. I'm like, no, if that's your passion and you're working in that, that's a real job. So the first thing is stop denying yourself. Stop living in denial. Be true to who you are. Be true to what you want. Because until you're able to speak it and admit your awareness and live it, you're going to limit yourself on your possibility and your success. And you don't want to do that. And then painting a realistic picture for them about success. You know, we equate sometimes success to happiness or success to fame. That's not necessarily success. You know, success is more like a roller coaster. You'll have great days. You'll have bad days. You may have highs and lows. But that doesn't mean you're not successful. You know, if you're meeting goals and you're making changes and you're serving others, that's successful. Yes. Even if you just help plus one, I like to talk about plus one. If everyone in the world just helped one person, we'd all be okay. Mm-hmm. That doesn't take a large corporation. That doesn't take, you know, a large nonprofit, just plus one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be true to yourself. And when you work to that and you invest in yourself and educate yourself on that and put yourself in situations to network with different groups, all of that will genuinely come together mm-hmm. because it is. It's about investing in yourself and your talents, but being of service to your community also. Mm-hmm.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Can you? Can I just put you in my backpack and you just
sure, girl power, right? Girl power, we all work right? together, girl power.
Now, getting back to what you do. Mm-hmm. How do other organizations go about working with the federal government?
The number one thing is you have to be registered in SAM, mm-hmm. and that's SAM.gov. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, it's just basic company information, identifying your business service codes. The government uses NAICS codes, NAICS, and putting that information into SAM, because to get paid, even if they conduct market research, you have to be in SAM. Mm-hmm. That's the first, you know, that's one of the things to do in terms of registration. But you need to spend some time finding out which agencies buy your product and services. So, yeah, the federal government spends more than $500 billion a year on everything. If you think about it, the federal government, that's their job, is to serve and protect us, right? That's divided into two key areas, Department of Defense, where all your military agencies reside, and then civilian, like CDC and HUD, Housing Urban Development, Medicaid and Medicare services. So if you divide, you know, identify which agencies spend the most amount of money on your product or service, and you can do that. There's ways to do that for free. Ways to, even if you're not ready to jump into federal government, you can go to FBO.gov, Federal Businesses Opportunities, and just put in some keywords or NAICS codes and research. You know, what kind of things are they buying? Mm-hmm. Because whether you bid on it or not, or you're just getting your feet wet, you can, sometimes they will have proposal conference meetings. You can network. You can get presentations with information. Sometimes they will post information about their services and what they're looking for. So you have to spend some time gathering the information and looking where you fit in. It's a much longer sales cycle. It can take anywhere from 18 to 24 months.
Wow.
But the beauty of it is that most of the awards, the larger ones, are between 2 to 3 years. That's residual income. Mm-hmm. That's business sustainability. Mm-hmm. That's a steady flow of cash flow. So there's just a lot of different things that you think about. The other thing that I tell them, whether they're government contractors or they have commercial with a small piece of government, is if you identify something that you can pursue, ask yourself, can you afford it, right? Before you can bill a customer, you've already had to do some of the work. So within that 30 to 45 days it takes for you to get paid, can you meet payroll? Can you afford the resources and things that you'll need to stay on task for that project? So a lot of it is homework, and it's definitely some planning behind it in terms of strategy and resources and task. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you can do it. So between registering in SAM, SAM.gov, between researching what's out there on FBO, and once you identify those agencies, start reaching out to the contracting officers and building relationships. If you're a small business, every government agency has a required small business goal. Every one of them have to reach. They are required to work toward reaching a small business goal every year. And because of that, each agency has a small business specialist. So when you find out where you fit in best and what you're able to provide and articulate, mm-hmm. then set up a meeting with those small business specialists. Build a relationship. Get on their radar so that when things that are in the works to come out, you'll be prepared and they'll say, oh, I know, you know, Company A does that. Lanice Williams does that. Sabrina does that. Let me reach out to them. Mm-hmm. I don't think people realize the magnitude of what the government provides. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a bid out right now for marketing services for the Army, a very large multi-million-dollar bid. They need a marketing and media company to help them create a marketing plan for Army recruiting. There's another bid out for journalism and media planning to train some of the agencies on that. So in addition to buying bullets and buying aircraft and testing those, or cybersecurity and software and healthcare, there's a lot of other things out there going on. Mm-hmm. So you do the homework. Of course, my company does help do that because it is very time consuming. So, but there are ways you can do it yourself. I know people like to do that. And then there are ways that if you can afford to pay for assistance, do that. Mm-hmm. But also in saying that, keep in mind SBA.gov. They have SBA offices everywhere. They provide a lot of free services also. I really encourage people to check that out. Mm-hmm. There are free webinars. They do training, face-to-face training. They have really good articles. Matter of fact, right now, I know we talked about grants. There's an big grant program is SBIR, so Small Business Innovation and Research. The government will pay. There are grants for that. SBA is doing a national tour right now for face-to-face training on how you get involved in that. So if you're new and you're innovative, you have a solution you think the government can benefit from, you can do that. That's a really good program. That's actually how we got the internet. You know, mm-hmm. most people don't realize that. That was a joint product with DARPA and some other IT experts. That's how we got the internet. That's how we got GPS. That's mm-hmm. how we started out in drones. So there's a lot of different things. So you could have a grant and develop a product or something that's really feasible and useful, and they could actually generate more commercial business for you. Mm-hmm. So that's why I also work with people to help them understand the business ecosystem as a whole. It's not just commercial businesses, but it really does have to do with government regulation and education and access to capital and finance and banking. Mm-hmm. So just being able to understand all of that and put that together.
Mm-hmm. That's great. You've given us some great information today.
Thank you.
Now, tell us again the date of your upcoming conference, and also let the listeners know how they can find you.
Okay, thank you so much. So I'm really excited. The upcoming conference is Basic Business Instincts, It's March the 26th and the 27th. And because we have some wonderful partners, we have slashed the prices for that course. It's for 2 days. Mm-hmm. If you do want to do just 1 day for the proposal and negotiations, that's fine. But the website, our website is commodoreconsulting.com. And that's commodoreconsulting.com. So the prices have changed. If you call us at 770-590-5147 and you tell us that you heard about it on Business Radio, we are giving an additional discount for those people also because of the radio show. And that's it. So we have a Twitter. That's just Commodore C. But between our webpage and the phone, we are excited to help.
Great. Well, can you stick around while we talk to Sabrina for
a bit? Definitely want to hear about what she's got coming up.
Great. Miss Lowry?
Good morning, Lanice.
How are you?
I am fabulous. Thank you so much for having me here in
of
the
course,
studio.
Of course.
And congratulations to you, madam, for launching your new radio show.
Oh, thank you so much. I almost forgot.
Oh, yes.
I'm so caught
congratulations.
Up in it. Yes. I'm like, what is she congratulating me
that's
for?
That's right. Yes. Fellow mompreneur, girl
exactly,
power.
Girl power.
Yes.
Awesome.
So, Sabrina, tell our listeners all about you, Legacy Realty and Management, and what you do.
Well, Sabrina Lowry was born and raised in Elizabeth, New Jersey. So I am a Jersey girl, as they say. I have been in Atlanta since 1996. Once I left University of Florida, graduated, had my two sons, Chris and Corey. We moved here to the Atlanta area in right in Vinings. And it was very important for me as a single mom to be in a safe place that would offer me opportunity for career and family at the same time. So I stayed close to my church. You know, I worked very hard as a single mom, sometimes two jobs just to keep my sons fed and daycare and
daycare.
Bills and mommy and activities, you know, how that goes. And so it's just been almost 20 years now that it's unbelievable that I've been in this city, and it has changed my life.
For the better, obviously.
Absolutely. I've grown so much as a woman, as a mother, and just as a human being, you know, spiritually and just letting things naturally flow when it's God's plan, because I tend to be a control freak and I have to let that go when it's not my hand in it. And I've learned that, and I trust that now because I see God's favor all over me.
That's awesome. Now, I know you have Legacy now, but I know real estate wasn't always your thing.
That's right.
So tell the listeners a little bit about what used to be your thing, I guess we should say, and how you transitioned into your newfound career.
Great question. So when I graduated from University of Florida, it was in computers and information systems, technology. So I am by nature a geek. I'm very technical. I'm very tech savvy. I've always embrace the newest in trends and technology and gadgets and cars and drones and remote control cars. And so that whole tech side is just ingrained in my DNA. And I love that. And I've always been what they call a smarty pants. So my family would just always use that word, smart. You're so smart. You're so smart. I looked at one of my cousins posted a comment on Facebook about a year ago. You know how it shows you the year ago? And she was using that word. She was like, when I used to babysit you for your mom and dad, I just knew you were going to be somebody because you were so smart. So I've always heard that, and you're going to be a lawyer, and you just have that. You could stand before the judge and convince anybody for anything. So that was just in my DNA. And so quite naturally, my energy has always been high. I've always been athletic and active. Dance is also a part of me that a lot of people don't know. I was always involved with, you know, live plays, musicals. I do have a little bit of a singing background. I don't do it professionally, but I enjoy singing, dancing.
Well, let me get some music.
And all
maybe,
of that.
Maybe you can sing for us right now.
I'd rather dance. Dancing and roller skating are my thing. Yeah, I like to stay in my lane.
Stay in your lane.
So that's the IT background. And I was a developer for 13 years. 7 of those years I spent with the local children's clothing manufacturer, Carter's Children's Wear. And so that commute to Griffin from Vinings every day, can you say 51 miles one way?
Wow.
And I had 2 small children. And as they got older, activities, church, it was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It was overwhelming. And I really felt fulfilled in my spirit because my clients in my IT job would always say to me that, "You're so much more than just sitting behind that desk, Sabrina." Mm-hmm. You know, we get it that you're smart and you help us with the fabulous software that you create for us and you support us. But when we have those sales meetings and they get to see me live instead of behind the computer, they were like, "I cannot believe this is who is sitting behind the other end of this computer talking to me remotely and logging into their computer," you know, that whole thing. I've done that. So it was almost like the calling on my life. Get from behind the computer screen because you have so much more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there birthed my real estate career. I purchased my first home in, 2002. Mm-hmm. And being a first-time home buyer / becoming a home owner, it was a dream. Mm-hmm. It was something that was fulfilling my legacy because I had children, mm-hmm. right? So how do you plan for that as an entrepreneur, as a mother, as a wife, as a family member? You have to own real estate. And first of all, you have to live somewhere. Okay, so why pay rent if you can pay the same price to own something and earn the benefits of that as it accumulates equity mm-hmm. over time? Henceforth, a potential retirement plan, right. Wealth building, assets, all of those things that fall under that category of building wealth. So that's how I got interested in real estate. I bought my home. My real estate agent was a rock star. Shout out to A. Renee Jemison. She is my girl, my shero, and she has been an awesome mentor in the real estate industry for me. And when her story was that she got up and left her corporate job to pursue real estate as a career, I said, "Well, then I can too."
That was all the motivation you needed.
That was all I needed. Somebody to tell me I could do it and how mm-hmm. to do it successfully.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of the success, we all know that along with success comes some challenges. So what challenges have you experienced?
As a business owner for the past 3 years now. So I own a company, Legacy Realty and Management, which is a full service residential and commercial real estate brokerage and property management services. So not only do we help homeowners and home buyers become homeowners, we actually help real estate investors with professional property management services, including tenant screenings, tenant procurement, advertising their properties, upkeeping, maintaining, repairing those properties, and rent collection. So for all of those services, all bundled into one brand, one company, and me being their realtor and real estate broker, I can service all things real estate. And that's my passion now. It's the way that I've chosen to build wealth for my family, to sustain an income. Even when the market crashed, I had to be creative and think outside the box in real estate when the sales plummeted, which actually caused me to bankrupt my company. Okay, you have to bounce back from that and figure out a new way to use your real estate license. I was like, well, then sales cannot be the only way to make money in real estate.
Right.
And I became the leasing specialist. No one wanted to touch a lease as a realtor. And I couldn't understand that. It was like a market that was untapped, as they say. Mm-hmm. And in my area, in Vining, Smyrna, the average rents were like $2,000, $2,500 a month for those three-story condos, those homes in Vining's estates at $4,000 and $5,000 a month. That's my commission per deal. And I was closing 6 to 10 leases a month, which earned me more than any one sales commission of including the top agents in the office at the time. Mm-hmm. So it made business sense, right? If I can't service my listings, because I've always been a listing specialist, meaning I love home sellers. That is my preferred client. I can help them, coach them, save them from foreclosure through short sale. And if that fails, I put a qualified renter in their property, collect the rent, and send them a check every month.
That makes them mm-hmm. happy.
All a win-win. Mm-hmm. I got a commission. I got paid. I got the residual now because the property management piece, when rent comes in, I get paid. Rent comes in, I get paid. That's the way the business model works.
So you found a great way, sounds like, to reinvent yourself.
I had to.
Mm-hmm.
I had to. How do you bankrupt a business, start over? You reinvent. Mm-hmm. You be flexible, as you said, right? Mm-hmm. The flexibility was absolutely critical because I otherwise would have been a retail sales manager.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. With a degree, with my IT skill set, people were like, well, then just go back in IT. I'm more than that, right? So how do we do that? And that was the entire leasing and property management piece to real estate. And not only that, it actually has empowered me more to help homeowners because I am their one-stop shop.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to go look elsewhere because they know that the work that our team puts in and the level of service and professionalism is always top notch. They trust us implicitly with the keys to their most largest possession, mm-hmm. assets, mm-hmm. right? That you have to maintain that. Otherwise, they lose value, which then means declining prices, which also means lower commissions.
So speaking of your clients that trust you, what would you say is your ideal client?
I, excuse me, I love to do the marketing side of selling the listings. Mm-hmm. I've always had a great inventory. So, you know, in retail sales, you have a product. Well, my product is a fabulous house. I love to walk into homes that have beautiful interior decoration and colors and details. I'm very detail oriented. So the crown molding and smooth ceilings versus popcorn ceilings and on and on and on. So that is my product. And so I take pride in being very selective about the owners that I partner with, because we do. We end up becoming business partners. In that listing transaction, facilitating the sale, meaning all the way from the contract process through the inspection, appraisal, and contingencies, all the way to the closing table, I help homeowners. I help sellers sell their house until I put a sold sign in their yard. So that's the most, I could say, without listings, you're not going to be a top agent. You're not going to be as successful because the inventory drives the consumer to you. When you have an awesome product, don't people shop with you? And they come back repeatedly when they need something again. And they tell their friends and family about their experience and how awesome it was and how comfortable they were. And not only that, how professional the person was, right? That you conducted the business that you were hired to do.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. So that truly is an ideal client for me, a home seller And for my property management side of the business, it's going to be those real estate investors. Those who need, I call it asset management. Okay, portfolio, their assets, those investment properties. You've heard of hedge funds. Those people have properties that they need people on the ground, marketing and selling and renovating and that whole that project management piece. See it all the way through. Mm-hmm. That's where I step in with my team and our expertise, where we can help anything real estate related.
Awesome. So you've been an entrepreneur for quite some time.
Yes.
What do you think is the best thing about being an entrepreneur?
For me, it has been the learning. I've learned through my experience, not through education in terms of a formal degree, if that makes sense. And my life experience has made me the real estate doctor. It has put me in the field where I get to touch it and feel it and go through it with these people, and it gets emotional. Mm-hmm. Okay? But you manage that. You manage the priorities, and when you have a result-oriented business, people come to you over and over and over because you help them solve their problems. And that's all anybody wants. They will pay for a resolution.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And especially if you do a great job.
Absolutely. I pride myself on having the repeat business. Having my longest tenant has been with me 8 years.
Wow.
So when somebody, they say the average renter will renew 3 times if you're taking care of them and the property. So I've superseded that number, and mine is 8 years. Okay. So every year for 8 years, this renter has just wanted to stay with me. Do you want to renew? Yes, you've been such a great tenant, so we'll actually not do a rent increase this time, but then maybe the next time we will. Mm-hmm. It's just been awesome. Mm-hmm. Absolutely awesome. They know I'm a phone call away. If there's a plumbing issue, my team and I are Johnny on the spot. Mm-hmm. So it makes a difference. And so when a real estate investor entrusts that asset to you, knowing that's the level of care that you provide, not only their property, but their tenant, everybody's happy.
So I know you outside of this studio. And so I know as an entrepreneur, you actually touch on several things. You have your real estate, but I know you've also recently incorporated your IT background along with the real estate.
Yes.
So I know all about it. So, but why don't you tell the listeners about that?
Awesome. I have partnered with Google, and I use Google for business. They call it now Google for Work. And basically, it's a platform for entrepreneurs to grow their back office and manage their business through the Gmail platform, through the Google Drive platform, Google Docs as a replacement for any Microsoft Office type product. And not only that, my domain is hosted through Google. So instead of using GoDaddy for my email, which I had in the past, and moving all of my team to one platform, everybody knows Gmail. Right. Everyone in my team, when they came to me, had a Gmail. So it made sense that now we have an intranet, meaning an interoffice web in the cloud access for our company to share documents and contracts and photo albums with our clients. Think how awesome that is. Mm-hmm. I can do a YouTube video and share it right through Google Plus with my international investors when I'm doing property tours and visits for them. Mm-hmm. I use Google Hangouts and do video conferencing for my coaching that I offer for agents as well as for my clients that are absentee owners. And that just makes them like you go above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't feel like I'm missing anything in Atlanta by not being there because you're so thorough in your work. If I can shoot them a video of the roof that collapsed because the tree from the ice storm fell on their property and now I have to file an insurance claim, that YouTube video speaks volumes about me as their property manager. Like, I'm trying to get it resolved. I have a tenant in here. Thank goodness they're safe. But now we have to move on to the next step. File insurance. Call my contractor. Get it tarped. Get it. And those are the things that I do. So those things can be shared through Google. So that platform is there, and I pay Google for that platform each month, $5 per month per user. So as an entrepreneur, when you're growing your team, and me being from IT, I know what it costs to host things outside when it comes to the technology. Technology is expensive, y'all.
Right.
It is not cheap. And so when people buy iPhones, that's $800. That's actually reasonable because of the technology that's incorporated into that device. Right? So those are the things that I'm trying to break through. People have to embrace technology instead of being scared of it, not only on the Google platform side of it, but then I teach them best practices in their business with social media because I use it so much as a form of advertising in my business strategically. Mm-hmm. I post with a purpose.
I like that.
Yes. You can't just be random with it. You post with a purpose and you're received and people then reshare and like and comment. And I want them to engage with me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be behind the computer. Mm-hmm. I want to know that you on the receiving end saw that, like that, mm-hmm. don't like that. What was that?
So you sound like Shanae. It sounds like social media has been a great benefit for your business, or you actually enjoy social media?
I can absolutely say the return on my investment has been 500-fold. Mm-hmm. So in other words, I use Google Analytics. I use the Facebook Insights. Mm-hmm. For those of you that have Facebook business pages, the insights give you return on investment. It clearly spells out how many people did you engage with your post, how many viewed, clicked through, and then the cost for that person clicking through. So if McDonald's spends the billions of dollars that they do on advertising, I need to advertise. And so social media just happens to be one of the tools that I use to market and advertise my business, my services, my listings. And then I'll get a little personal sometimes. You know, you like to celebrate and show the things that you are human to, right? A nice vacation somewhere or my sons and those things. Absolutely. But I post with a purpose, mm-hmm. knowing that will forevermore be part of my legacy.
Right.
It's like a journal almost. Some days you feel like journaling, and some days I post feeling like I'm journaling. Mm-hmm. If I like something that I saw, even on business pages, you guys, you know, somebody posts something that absolutely moves you, I want to share that too.
Mm-hmm. So you just spoke. You touched a little bit on legacy. Speaking of legacy, can you tell us about this upcoming event that you have that's all about leaving a legacy?
Yes. Save the date. Leaving a Legacy Conference, February 27th, which is this Friday from 9 a.m. to 12 at the Riverwood 100 Conference Center, right in the heart of Vinings, mm-hmm. right off of Cobb Parkway in my Legacy Realty and Management building. And this conference will feature our special guest speaker, Miss Sonia Booker, who is all about wealth building through real estate investing. Mm-hmm. And she and I have collaborated on this conference because it is truly our mission to leave a legacy. And what does that mean to each and every one? Because it is different for everyone. Not everyone has a dream to be a business owner. Some people's dream is to retire after 30 years with a corporate job, with a pension, with benefits, those types of things. So this conference will be all about empowering the world about what legacy are you leaving. When you wake up every day, do you wake up with a purpose? When you wake up every day, is your purpose to help people? And when you do those things, you're creating a foundation for a legacy. And we're going to share some tools with how real estate can be a tool that you use to create wealth and build your legacy. So that's what I am actively doing, have been doing. I have three sons who are 21, 20, and 4 years old, and I have to leave behind something in their lives that they knew their mama worked and grind for, right? And that she did this for us, that forevermore our name would live on and carry on. And that is why I named my company Legacy. I hope that everyone will go to eventbrite.com and RSVP today for this conference, because it is set to make change. It is set to lift us all up and support one another by offering the tips and giving you the knowledge that you need in real estate. I didn't know that there's the better practice to hire a realtor to buy property when you buy. My husband and I were driving around Atlanta weekend after weekend, just looking at houses, just couldn't get the key to get in, just driving around. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, we need to get with the people that can let us in and coach us through this thing, right? Mm-hmm. So that's absolutely my goal. And not only that, we'll have breakfast and door prizes, and I will actually be honoring a very, very special individual in this legacy building with a presentation and award ceremony. So please join us on this Friday, February 27th, for the second annual Leaving a Living Legacy Conference.
Well, we have to now that you've built that anticipation about that person you're honoring, they have to check it out, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Sabrina, if people want to know more about your event, I know you mentioned check out Eventbrite, but where can they find out more about the event as well as more about you and Legacy Realty?
I have a brand new website that I launched at the Atlanta Google office in December for my birthday, and it was based off of the premise of I went through the Accelerate with Google program, mm-hmm. and having used that program as a tool to grow my business, I launched my own website, SabrinaLowry.com. So I officially own my name, my domain, and was so honored to do it at Google and show the public how using the tools that they offer, the training that they gave me for that 12-week program, which was free, by the way, how to do those things with Google as a back end. So find me at SabrinaLowry.com. You can also visit my Facebook business page, which is Sabrina Lowry R-E Tech, that's T-E-C-H, or Facebook.com Legacy Realty and Management.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that information, Sabrina.
I'm so thankful for you, Lanice.
Oh, thank you.
And
you're
love you, girl.
You're going to have me blush here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
And thank you, Sinead, for joining us.
Thank you. This is wonderful. You're both just great. Thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Having
feeling
me.
Feeling is mutual.
Yes. Girl power.
Girl power.
Yes.
So that ends another special edition of Cobb Business Radio X. I'm so glad to have these ladies here, and I can't wait to have you guys join me again for our next episode. Take care.